We want to encourage you to take that blue Bible in the pew there and turn in it to page 835 and 836, and we're going to read together from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the first 12 verses. And it's kind of nice that the Bible has exactly the same wording as mine here in the pulpit, so as we stand together to honor God's Word, we can just follow along and have the same sense of what the Scriptures are saying to our hearts. Thank you for standing, if you can, in honor of His Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, page 835 in that pew Bible. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you His gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Because you had become so dear to us, surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order to not be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who called you into his kingdom and glory. And Father, we rejoice in your word because you have sustained it throughout the centuries and touched millions of lives through it. We ask, Father, that you would strengthen us in our walk with you this day, because of this, your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And as we begin to think about these verses for a few minutes this morning, we want to just think about how so often we come across people and they just don't seem to be happy. Do you know anybody like that? You ever run across somebody that's just not happy, just not content, just not fulfilled would be another way to say that. Just still looking and searching and wondering, is this all that there is to life? And we know that there are things that cannot fill that void. And as we think about these verses, I want to just cause us to focus in on a servant of God. Now, the Apostle Paul is the man who wrote to the Thessalonians under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And we get a picture of his heart in these 12 verses, the burden that he has for the church, the people of God, to grow and to deepen and to mature and to come to that sense of fulfillment in following after Christ. And so as we Think on the verses. You know, the church was born through the preaching of the gospel. And we see in Acts chapter 17 the time that Paul spent in Thessalonica and how he preached the gospel to them, which is what he's referring to here at the beginning of chapter 2. And we know from 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, where Paul has just finished a whole list of things that are things that have happened to him. He's been beaten, he's been tossed into the sea, he's been all kinds of things as he has walked with God. And in that 28th verse, he says, added to this is my burden for all the churches. And so we know that as we look at his heart, there is the heart of a servant of God. And I'd love just in our time together to focus a little bit on what it is when we move from salvation into discipleship. And this text gives us three pictures of developing and maturing in our walk and finding real fulfillment as we do so. In verses 1 through 6, Paul describes himself as a servant. A servant. Now, what comes into your mind when you think about a servant? That's somebody who's kind of just trudging along and doing what they're told, is a picture in our society. But really what Paul is saying here is, what an amazing, amazing privilege it is to serve God, to be a servant to God and to His people. Now, it's nice when somebody serves us, isn't it? Isn't it nice when somebody goes that extra mile to do something for us? That's a wonderful thing. But when we think about being a servant in the work of God, what a privilege it is to be cooperating with the Spirit of God. Now, Joan talked in her testimony about reasons why physically she didn't feel like obeying the Lord. It wasn't a good time. It wasn't a great time for her and Jerry as they mourn and think about the memory of their son. But as the Holy Spirit nudged, there's that sense of, it's a privilege to go because I'm not going on my idea or on my agenda, but on His. And we all have perhaps experienced times when God puts somebody on your heart at a certain time, and it's so easy just to let that go by. But what a privilege to be a servant of God and to pick up those opportunities and find great fulfillment. And we know that Paul found fulfillment as a servant, because if you look in 2 Timothy and chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8, he says this as he's coming toward his death, I have finished the course. He knew that it was time to move on. But he knew that there was a fullness to that. Henceforth, he says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord shall give to me, and not to me only, but unto all them who love His appearing. Wow. You see, this thing of fulfillment, our world is searching for it. There is such a lostness and a brokenness and an emptiness everywhere that you look. And where is it to be found? It is to be found in Christ and in walking with Him and in serving Him as the one who is the servant of the living God. I'm so thankful that my master is not in the tomb. He is alive. And a servant is one who has nothing, but everything belongs to the Master. What a great joy it is not to be encumbered. If I was rich, I'd worry about the money. Or if I had a Cadillac, I'd worry about it. It's a private joke, folks, between... He teases me about my little Ford, okay? So, and you see, all those things become just things. And if they all belong to Christ, then we rest in Him. Even our reputation rests in Him. He knows our heart. He knows our lives. He knows how to minister to us in all kinds of difficult circumstances and situations. What a privilege to be a servant of Christ. Let me read to you from Daniel chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Here is a servant of God, and he's in a lion's den. And it says, at first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, and here it is, servant of the living God. What a title. He didn't say, Daniel, prime minister of my kingdom. He didn't say, Daniel, you're the best of the administrators. He said, Daniel, servant of the living God. What a powerful title that is. The verse goes on to say, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And I love Daniel's response. Oh, king, live forever. That voice coming out of there, just as much alive as ever. Why? Because he was the servant of the living God. What a privilege that is, to be his servant and to walk with him. Now, we know as we look at Scripture that it tells us servants must be faithful to be useful. And servants are given things to work with. We have been given the gospel. It has been entrusted to us to share the love of God and his glorious salvation in Christ Jesus, to wash away sin, to bring an end to brokenness and to minister wholeness, to give hope where there is none, and to lift up and carry along. And Paul says in verse 4, he was not just seeking to please man, but seeking to please God. Can I just encourage you? If you make a change in heart, motive, and life, instead of worrying about pleasing people, and think, Lord, I want to please you. It is said of Jesus at his baptism, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why? Because he was obedient. Obedient to the Scriptures. There's a background context here, because it's not always popular, you know, to serve the Lord. God knows our heart, and he knows our difficulties. And he tells us in verses 1 and 2 about how his visit was successful, even though he had been mistreated at Philippi, beaten up, thrown in jail. And then again to come and to speak the same message in Thessalonica. And what was the message? It's encapsulated in what we call the gospel. God had a plan when he created human beings, that they would walk in fellowship with him. But man, our people, have a problem because of sin that entered in Genesis chapter 3. You can read about it. What was the sin? Disobedience. This is why obedience is so vitally important. That's our problem. And the Bible tells us we all have it, because it says all have sinned and come short of God's glory. So we have a problem. But God has an answer. And his answer was that Jesus came and on the cross said, I'll take your sin. I'll pay for it. And I'll wash you. And if you'll come to me, I'll give you a new life, a wonderful new life. Just like this man who was able to say that that generational thing that had happened in his family is broken. God knew. We see being a servant is a great thing because as people take that personal decision to follow Christ and believe the gospel, there is a transforming change that takes place. You know, there is nothing more fulfilling than being a servant of the living God. I love the character of D.L. Moody. I think I've read so many books about him because, like me, he wasn't a very well-educated man. But God used him, and I pray, oh, Father, if I could see a tenth of what you did through the life of that man happen in mine. Anyway, I say that to say I came across in one of the books an incident where he, in a church service, picked on a young woman sitting close to the front. You girls getting nervous? No. No, they trust me and they know I won't pick on them. But he did that day. He picked on this young woman and he pointed right at her. And as he pointed right at her, he said, "Young woman, do something for God. Start doing something for God." And then he actually went down to where she was sitting. Now you're getting nervous. I think we'll demonstrate what he did. Would you help me? Good. Just stand with me for a second. He had said, "Young woman, start doing something for God." And he went down and he picked her out of her pew and he turned her toward the congregation and he said, "Young woman, do something for God. Go and do something for God. It's okay. Come back. Come back. Come back." Imagine doing something like that. Yeah. That first step that she took that day. Her name was Mala Mo. And she was a missionary to Africa with the Evangelical Alliance and was responsible for seeing hundreds and hundreds of lives come into the kingdom of God. Start doing something for God. How powerful is that thought? May God encourage us to be servants and start doing something for Him. The second picture that we get in this chapter is a picture of a mother. A mother. He says, "I was like a mother amongst you." And the picture here is of gentleness. And you see, he's longing to see them go on and grow into maturity. And gentleness is part of the fruit of the Spirit of God, we read in Galatians chapter 5. Gentleness. And we need that, don't we? Are there not times when we need someone gently to come and just put an arm around us or encourage us? Someone came to me before the service and gently put an arm around and said, "Pastor, sorry to hear about your stepmom passing away. Last Sunday, about the time that I was preaching, we got word that she was gone. And you know, it was expected and it's okay. And we're thankful for the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, that is there for anyone who will trust Him and the hope that it brings." It takes care and patience to raise children, doesn't it? My mother, if she could stand before you, would tell you, "I never thought that kid would grow up to be a preacher." But I knew that I could go to her, and there would be gentleness and tenderness. And that's how the Holy Spirit of God works, isn't it? So gently He brings conviction to our hearts that we need forgiveness of sin, and we need that sense of Him in our lives to lead and to guide and to enable. And how many of us today could say, I am in the kingdom of God today as a result of a praying mother? I sure could. Yeah. This sense of like a mother. And when you think about new believers, Peter writes and says, you need the milk of the word before the meat of the word. Because when we're young in the faith, we need that milk that helps us to grow from the scriptures. That sense of being fed. And a nursing mother eats food and transforms it into milk for the baby and helps that baby to grow and cares for it in every way. You know, as we watch God bring people to salvation in Christ, we not only have the privilege of being servants, but of also demonstrating this care like a mother, to tenderly feed and grow and bring and watch as they develop into wonderful kingdom-centered people. A mature Christian feeds on the Word of God and shares it and shares it. One of my other historical figures that I really like to read about is Winston Churchill. Churchill, when he was at Harrow in school in England as a young fellow, was mocked one day because as he walked across the school courtyard, they all kind of jeered and cheered and nah, at him because he was walking along and he had a lady by the hand. It was his nanny. The woman who looked after him when he was a child, her name was Mrs. Everest. Now, Winston Churchill is a world-renowned historical figure. And he didn't care what his classmates and school friends thought about him. He knew that he loved this woman who was his stand-in mom. So much so that when she died, he was the only member of the Churchill family that attended the funeral. And making only £125 a year as an officer in the British Army, he found a florist and said to him, I'll cover the cost. You make sure there are flowers on that woman's grave every week, fresh. Why? Because of the tremendous influence. And you see, this is something that we see in servanthood and in obedience. There is tremendous influence that you have, that you can have, that any one of us can have as we minister into lives. Oh, I hasten on. There is a third picture here. We see a servant, yes, a mother, yes, is mentioned in verses 9 through 12. He speaks about a father. Well, look at this, all in one chapter. Wonderful. Now, a father cares for his children. And despite some of the modern twists and all the things that are out there that denigrate that kind of idea, but it is so true that a real father cares for his children and is desirous to support them. And Paul is in that place where he is working and presenting the truth of God's word to them and helping them to grow in knowledge and in grace. He is teaching them by his life and his model, as well as the word. And he encourages them, he exhorts them, and he comforts them, the scriptures tell us, in verse 12. And you know, children don't always like to hear what they have to be told. Oh, the stories I could tell you when my dad tried to straighten me out. I didn't want to hear that. But he was right. And he did it because he cared. And he loved. And you know, a father deals personally. It says here, with each one of you. It wasn't just a general thing, because each child is unique. And you as a child of God, if you are in Christ today, you are uniquely His child. Father deals that way. Being honest with them, bringing that discipline that brings strength, that brings truth to life, that brings fulfillment. I love the football story of when Lou Little was the coach of Georgetown University. And he had a young man on his team who wasn't very good. He wasn't really a bad football player. He just wasn't the best. But he was on the team. And one of the things that he noticed about this player is that when this young man's father came to visit him, he would see the young man walking arm in arm with his father around the university. And he thought, you don't see that very often. A young man with his father, arm in arm. Coach Little got a phone call one day. It was that young man's mother. And she said, Coach, my husband has passed away. And I think my son would receive that news from you better than anyone else. Would you tell him? And when he told him, yes, there were tears, yes, there were all of that. But the young man said to him, Coach, on Saturday, would you put me in to start? Could I ask that favor? And the coach said, I'll put you in, but maybe for 2 minutes. You can start. When the game started, that guy played so well. The coach never pulled him, ever. And he said to him afterwards, why in the world did you play like that before? And he said, well, coach, very few people knew, but my dad was blind. And this is the first game that he could see me play. See what he was saying? I played like that for my father. Now, friends, you and I are in the great game of life. Are we playing it to please the Father? Real fulfillment in life comes from knowing Christ and serving Him and obeying Him. Real influence comes in mentoring and discipling those who need to grow. And we all fit that category. I don't know anybody who's arrived in the Christian walk or life. And growth comes through encouragement as we seek with all our heart to please the Father. Oh God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your word. We thank you that Paul speaks about being a servant. And as a mother was with them, so tenderly he helped. And as a father, so strongly he encouraged in the disciplines that would bring growth. Father, would you continue to touch us as your family here at Heritage? Would you cause us just this morning, just as that young man realized his father could see him play, we want to live to please our Father God. So Lord, minister to us. And after the service, grant us a heart just to say to you at the altar, Lord, I want to serve you all the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Sean.